Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A grain of rice. It's going to tip the scale. Just remember that, lad.
There's a small bit of a needle there.
Now, come on, Mayo. You've got to get Andy Moran into the game.
Our mission was to show that we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.
Hi, folks. How are you all doing out there? You're very welcome along to the first edition of the Irish Examiner Hurling Show in 2022. And a very, very happy new year to all our listeners. We were to have a Christmas special, but Mark was having his booster and we felt at his age and his condition, TJ, that was important to get the booster that day, wasn't it?
Very important. And unfortunately, myself and Marco, we still got the old COVID over Christmas afterwards, so I didn't get boosters. Mark did get boosters, so it didn't really make a difference at the end of the day.
I'm blaming TJ.
Hold on now, go on. What?
I'm blaming TJ, like I happen to be in his company. In fairness, I'd have to say, and very good company it was, though. I was an invited guest at the Limerick race there on the 28th of December on behalf of Cube. And we also had TJ's brother, Davey, who were sponsoring a race called Deepak for the company it was. So, TJ, thanks very much for inviting me. I don't know what gave me the COVID.
Most people at the races were fine afterwards and stuff, but myself and Marco went down. So we're not sure exactly of the source they love, but one of us gave it to the other.
Well, I was to join ye, myself and my current wife, Eilish, were to join ye. And we couldn't get enough staff to work in the place, even though we're closed at 8 o'clock. And the boys in blue are usually in at 8:30, so we're home early. But we were to join ye, but we couldn't get enough staff to cover us, for the two of us to be gone. So we said, we'd better let ye off. And I wound up closed anyway the 29th for 8 days here in Murty's. Two of the girls got it. So, and that's the household rule thing, you know. Even though we were all doing antigens every day of the week, the rest of us were okay, but we had to sit out the time. Well, one of the girls got it, and then the other one was positive 4 days later. That meant we didn't reopen until last Friday night, which was torture in loads of ways, missing New Year's. Yes. We haven't too many hours anyway without missing New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. And the Sunday was the second.
It's coming a good time for you, Dale. You needed a break, for God's sake, to count all that money you're after making over the last 12 months. For Christ's sake, you had to clean out the safe at some stage.
You won't make much money closed at 8 o'clock. And the tips you were sending from Limerick on the 28th would be on spending the money as well.
Well,
the worst thing about it on the day, the first winner in Leopardstown on the day that we got together was a horse called Howie Abud. And the fellow who owns Howie Abud is called Charlie Carter. The great Charlie from Kilkenny, 25-1.
I often saw his arse going away from me, TJ. He was some kind of forward, that chap.
He was a serious yorker.
Sound man. He was into breeding. He was even into breeding greyhounds back last time I met him. We were chit-chatting about breeding and the greyhound side of things. And Charlie, a dote of a guy, me. Lovely.
Oh, yeah. Top cast, right. Now. And the history, the background to that horse, Dalo, it had ran in two bumps and finished second, and they went back then to running a pint to pint and finished second. The horse that beat it in the pint to pint was sold for €290,000 and ran in Christmas and finished second to Redemption Day, the favourite now for the Champion Bumper, or certainly one of the top favourites in the Champion Bumper at the moment. So Charlie's horse actually had been to the Doncaster sales and he was offered $60,000, but he refused to take it. So he's very hopeful now that after the result in Leopardstown that he'll be getting a few more quid for him. So
he'll be up there with yourself, Mark. Charlie will.
I've got a track behind him now, Dale, but we actually did see the race in Limerick, and We were a bit disappointed we didn't have a few quid each way. Either my buddy Donny Tracy had a fiver each way during running because he was sitting beside me. So cute enough, Donny, he said, I had the account. Like, I don't have any account, but he had a fiver each way at 25 during the race. Cute war. They paid for.
Just Mark, you have nothing, like, you haven't a betting account. And you're, nothing.
I'm just a poor old fool for me, Scott.
Oh, Jesus.
No fear of them, boys.
Anyway, I put up your Christmas special bet on Twitter anyway. You came up with the goods last year, obviously. What was that last year? Mad price.
French seal. And got sold for 450,000 baht by William Mullins out of Holden's.
Okay. He won, but in the Royal Ride of that. But this year, then, you said a double in this horse in Leopardstown, and then to go on and win the Supreme Novices Hurdle, which is turning out now to be like the Champion Hurdle, actually, the way it's going.
Unbelievable.
Well, what's the name of the horse again, Mac?
Statement.
No.
How far would he have won by if he stayed up?
He wouldn't have been able to pull him up after they passed. He actually toppled over the second last and hadn't even come out of first gear. Right. Unfortunately, broke his nose,
that's right.
During the course of the fall. And I don't know, will he run the Supreme? But he definitely would have collected a Leopardstown. We were on a 40-1. We had a small little bit of a wager to try and get the Christmas expenses. But unfortunately, it went west. Pity I didn't think about how your bud, because I had a small bit of information about him as well.
You played against Offaly in 99 with a broken nose, like. Broken nose is not keeping out, like.
Shawnee Leary got rusty, so it is well documented. He played an All-Ireland final with a broken nose, and Ring said to him in the dressing room, he says, "Shawnee, you don't play hurling with your nose. Come on, let's go." And that was it. Out he went.
I'd say if Ringy told you don't play hurling with your wrist, out you go.
I showed Dara Flynn for Belly Gilden yesterday, played with a broken leg. His shin bone is cracked. He didn't start yesterday, but he came on at half time and had a major influence in the game in the second half. So
should they be chucked out, Mark? Like, they played a professional player.
I'm sure, I suppose he's only an amateur. He's still an amateur hurler, isn't he?
No,
he's in a different court in a different country, like, you know. I mean, the Alpines did that for years with the PSG. They used to fly him back for the county semi-finals, the county finals.
Oh, sure, right back to Kevin Moran with Manchester United way back in the day, and Tommy Docherty. I think he came back injured after the 77 final, I think, and Tommy said, "That's the last time you're going over there, buddy." He said, you know, I remember, like, I used to often think Listowel Limits, you know, the North Kerry Championship is famous. Obviously, it's probably played around Stephen's Day or maybe Christmas Eve even at times. And Ty Kennelly, they'd have that month off, I think, the Australian rules, and Ty would land back to play in the North Kerry final with Listowel. Like, just fair throwing at the same time, in fairness to the Shkihina Rinka lads, like Mark Keane being there or not there is probably a bit of an influence.
I met somebody on the way home. Like, my sister actually lives in Ballygiblin, believe it or not. Young fella plays underage hurling with them. But, like, it was a unique pairing, right? Because literally it's a stream that separates Ballygiblin and Shkihina Rinka, right? They're in two different counties. And literally they would all know each other exceptionally well. Just a really, really small townsland where both of them kind of hang out together. And for the two of them to end up in a Munster final, it just created huge razzmatazz locally, and big win for Ballygiblin that.
They all went to school at Mitchellstown together, didn't they?
Yeah, 100%.
All the players from Ballygiblin went to Mitchellstown CBS, and 18 of the panel of Shkihina Rinka went to Mitchellstown CBS. But honourable mention for Joe Sullivan. He's a guy I had involved in the development squads. He actually captained the Cork under-17s when they won the Munster Championship back when the development squads were going there, the Eugene Carey Trophy in Mallow. And Joe was on the frees. He took over from Dara Flynn yesterday. He scored 7 frees and 165. He had a big influence in the game. And Sean O'Sullivan got 2 goals yesterday, which were massive. His nickname is Shawnee Goals. So he's a prolific goal scorer. And obviously then, Ronan Dewan, a guy that we would have mentioned on a number of occasions, highly involved with the county board, was coaching the team. And a guy, Davey Moore, who played against McKilly in 96. Avondhu beat him McKilly in the county senior final in 96 after a replay. Davey Moore was corner forward on that Avondhu team, but he managed the Ballygiblin team. And one of the blast back to 96, Dermot Lynch, who was corner back on that Avenue team, was now 47 or 48 years of age, is still tugging out for Ballygiblin. He was a soap yesterday. So I tell you this much, there's no doubt there, get on, you want to clean down those boots, kid, and get on the shorts. We'll go for a run. We'll have one more go at it.
Mark, I'm fit enough anyway, I could tell you that for sure. But I don't know, the touch mightn't be as good. But no, I believe 4,000 or 5,000 people at the match as well, Munster Junior Final. Yes. Incredible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Incredible.
Match had to be put back a quarter of an hour because of the traffic.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
It's always a great sign for teams playing when you hear there's an announcement coming out over the antenna. The game has been put back 15 minutes because of crowd congestion.
I can't be talking out the two sides of my mouth. I give out about the Clare County Final having to go back 15 minutes and you preparing a team to go at 3:30, like, and the next thing you're told, 15 more minutes to kill there, lads.
But isn't it unique that two clubs so close together, right, in different counties end up in a Munster Final? And that's the beauty of, I suppose, the Munster Club, which is started, was it Sean Kelly started that, say, for the juniors and intermediates, which is a great opportunity. And I'm sure we'll talk about the Kerry situation in a while between Miley and them. Like, but yeah, unbelievable.
Sure will.
I met a couple of them last night on the way home.
Which is very funny because you mentioned Phil Herlihy, the captain of the Ballygiblin team, said there in the interview afterwards, he said, like, it was pure Cork and Tip, he said. It was great to be a Tip. You know, talking about the club. It was Cork Tip, like, you know.
Do you remember the old crack with the over 40s? You know, remember the over 40s when it was being played? And the Masters, now they call it. They're still going, I think, in the country. But it was a big thing in Clare there for about 4 years. They got a fit. I think a couple of lads got heart attacks in just to get rid of it. But, I'll name the club, go on, because they're a great old club, Bradford. And they won the first one. I think they beat Aina or someone in the first final. But the Bradford captain, who was about 47, got the cup. And he waved it out of the crowd. And he said, "This is a great day for Clare Hurling, lads." To think about it, like, I'm open to correction now. All Bradford people out there, I think it was Bradford, anyway, but this is a classic. Anyway, lads, I couldn't go down. You were below the 2E. TJ got free corporate tickets again, Mark, and you got the text to say, "I have a free ticket, Marco. Where'll I meet you?" You're doing well, TJ, at the moment, between racing at Christmas, getting COVID, and then free ticket for the Munster Club.
That's connections, isn't it, Mark? We're well connected.
Oh, well, yeah.
I think you're well connected now, TJ, to be fair. Like, I don't know about me, like, but anyway, it compliments of AIB, Taylor.
Jesus. Yeah, I have an account with them. Any AIB people listening there, I could do with a few free tickets for some gig there or something like that. You know?
And we happened to get a sight of the All-Ireland winning manager, and a couple of his sidekicks were there as well. Like, we were at TJ and Fairlison. He knew exactly where to go. He was keeping an eye on him. So, and we had Spike as well.
Spike's a Kim Mack man, like, so he'd have to be there.
Yeah, Spice and Mack man, And I was going to say, Dale, before we move on to the match even, like, we would like to travel to Turles to see St. Thomas's and Ballyhale in 2 weeks' time. So
I'd like to go with you.
If anybody out there would like our company or like to bring us, Marco, or whatever it is, or
I might go to Dublin to see Schlockneil.
Oh, to Parnell, okay.
Because that's in the fairly, people are talking about a Ballyhale, Ballygunner final already, aren't they?
Anything could happen. Anything could happen now.
Northern teams in Parnell and Schlockneil now, lads. Schlockneil have beaten the best in Antrim and the best in Down. You know, and it isn't their first time there, and they gave bags of it to Ballyhale. Was it 2 years ago? Do you know?
Yeah. It is. Okay. Well, a shout out to AIB to say that myself and Marco are available to travel to Turles on Sunday week for the semi-final between St. Thomas's and Ballyhale. All right, Mark?
Okay. All the AIB there. Rush and Glenn organise the tickets there for the lads. We'll be on the following morning, no matter where we are. Lads, fierce anticipation. I was here in the bar and the old streaming wouldn't work for some reason for Kilmoyle and Corsi, which, so we had the volume up to the last. Now, with due respect to Pierce's and the Mayo champions, what's the name of the Mayo champions?
Knockmore,
sorry, Devon Allen Club 1, I should know them. But even here in West Clare, the volume was down and Radio Kerry was booming. And Michael Hollern and your old buddy, TJ McFoley, who has a good knowledge of the game. And Kerry, yes, give us unbelievable. Kimoyle were dead and buried, lads, down 4 points twice. And Corsi's looked like they had it. And the courage they showed to come back. And I thought they'd never lose it an extra time. But of course, that had its twists and turns as well. But then I went up home to watch the big one. But, and we'll stick with the big one. It was a disappointing day out, I suppose, in terms of what we all expected. But you have to give it up to Ballygunner, lads. They're a serious club team, like, aren't they? And I said it, look, I said it in my piece this morning. All this talk, they've won 3 months of clubs now, so they've only won two previous. All this talk that they were kind of underachievers, etc., etc. I'm not so sure that was a major motivation for them, beaten by Barisoli 2 years ago down the road in Parky Ring. Not so sure that was major. I think the fallout from the Loughmore match, and we gave it as good as any podcast here, that we weren't impressed with some of the antics maybe on the day, but they used that. There was quietness from them. They just were focused, weren't they? And for some other reason, then Kim Mellock didn't show up, which can be very difficult after Christmas, of course, and it's very hard to put your finger on things, but It was an awesome display, really. I mean, the goal and the point came late for Kim Mellock, and like, it was going to be an awful beating other than the late couple of scores, and it's probably still a fair beating, but they are an awesomely balanced club team.
Yeah. Well drilled, I'd say, Dale, I know. I'd have to, like, I was just thinking about it a while ago, like, what could you do to describe them? Professional, driven, did everything correct, sprinted off the field at halftime. Their touch was unbelievable. TJ, we remarked actually in the first half, the cornerback hit a ball out of his hand 50 yards straight into a fella's hand under pressure. Their hurling was excellent. Their execution, their decision making, never panicked. It was without question probably the most flawless display I've seen from a club team. I think, like, we would have given Kilmallock a good shout out after the drubbing they gave Middleton. And you're going to be asking me where does that color now? I don't know what the answer to that is, except that I would say the preparation going into the Middleton-Kilmallock game wasn't good for Middleton. And I don't know, I don't have an insight back into the Kilmallock setup, but certainly they never, barring the first 3 or 4 minutes of the game, they never fired after that. And there was one probably controversial moment in the game where Saki brought the ball back from behind. I said, from where we were anyway, it looked like it was definitely behind the post. It was overturned. Ballygunner got a free below. And then from the next attack, they got the goal. So certainly there was a 2-point run around. And then there was a goal. And then Houlihan got injured after that. But they were still never going to raise a gallop to me. Oisin O'Reilly drifted out of the game. He started brightly, but it really was all
Graham, about Graham did too, didn't he? Graham McKay.
And you know what was disappointing? Was Aaron Costello in the middle of the field? Was disappointing. And sorry, when there's a tsunami coming against you, this happened to Cork in the All-Ireland final, good players, some of them will stand up to it. And I thought Robbie Hanley, for me, in the middle of the field, carried the fight to Ballygunner nearly single-handedly.
Would Mark, like, they were beaten in midfield. They were beaten in midfield, though. And if you told me going down that Costello and Robbie Hanley would play second fiddle to Sheehan and Paddy Leverick, I wouldn't give, you know. But I thought that was a win for Kilmallock, but Ballygunner won the midfield.
Yeah, your man, TJ, wasn't your man unbelievable, Conor Sheehan? He was so lively in the middle of the field. Jesus, he was like a ballerina yesterday. His feet, obviously, Peter Hogan was the one other fellow that we picked out. The amount of ground that he covered and travelled just to that. But coming back to it, I don't want to talk about individuals, but as a whole, the one thing that took away from the game yesterday was how professional, how drill Ballygunner are. And you could watch them from the stand, you know exactly, those players know exactly what they were expected, what the game plan was. And they carried it out to the letter of the law, as far as from what I could see yesterday.
Yeah, and look, it was interesting watching. You wouldn't have seen it now, but Pádraig Mahony got his Man of the Match award, and he said every Wednesday night they studied the opposition. Now, for me, Pádraig was brilliant yesterday, but Desi was the Man of the Match again.
Jesus.
Pádraig got it.
Billy O'Keefe.
Bill O'Keefe. We had Bill O'Keefe's fan club behind us, Mark.
We had the Bill O'Keefe fan club.
Dizzy won 5 from play, like Parry 2 from play. Oh, brilliant freeze. And you, that's the one thing. Kilmallock were a bit over robust maybe early, and they gave him chances to get Ballygunner up and running, you know, nails in the coffin with the freeze. But geez, Desi Hutchinson was just unmarkable again yesterday. And but like TJ, you could talk about, and Mark makes a great point of how professional they looked. And I said it in, again this morning, I don't want to be repeating the article, but I said like how they trained on Stephen's Day, Kilmallock. I met Tony with Gerlach Mann before Christmas. Could see the twinkle in the eye, you know, the Considine twinkle now, TJ. They were ready. They trained Stephen's Day. They went hiking on the 27th. I don't think any of the players went to the receptions of the 2 weddings, bar your family. Like, it's fairly professional, like, isn't it? Even Dog Day has just come out of nowhere at times, did you, don't they?
They do. And in fairness, I would have said that Kilmallock would have incrementally improved nicely from county semi-final to being good county champions in Limerick, where it wasn't easy. And you'd have to say, whereas Middleton didn't turn up, but Kilmallock were impressive the last day. And you would have said that this was set up for Kilmallock to have a right good go at Ballygunner. And it seemed that way early doors. Myself and Marco heard one of the physical hits down really close to us, like it was a fair body blow. And Kilmallock looked up for the battle, and they got a couple of early scores and got themselves settled. But I will say, the same as Mark, I was extremely impressed by Ballygunner's setup, by their formation. They're reset every time. Myself and Mark commented on it a couple of times. They knew exactly what they were doing. Their outball, they had one or two players available every single time. They took the right options on loads of occasions. Their runners inside were incredible. Their formation and setup isn't too dissimilar to the way Limerick play. There are some similarities you could draw. I know there is a connection with Shawnee and the stats. But to what Marco said there in terms of studying opposition, in terms of what they want to do themselves, their running, their energy, their puck-out strategy, there was an awful lot to be impressed by Ballygunner. And in Desi, they definitely have one of the top players. Like, his footwork for one or two of the scores, his first touch, his pace. And, like, all around the field now, their body language was just really on the money. Like, now, in saying that, like, they've been in the last, this is 4 months of finals in a row for them. Like, they 2 last and they 2-1. And, like, after the match, you could nearly feel the hurt after the match for the Boris Lee match 2 years ago, the effect that had on them. But extremely professional, really good the way they set up. Philip O'Mahony and Shane O'Sullivan were on par in the half-back line. All over the place now, they were winning the battles. And their game plan and tactics seem to be very much right. If I was going to be critical of Kilmallock, in the first half, they tried to influence their game on Ballygunner, where that middle third, which has been very good to them in the last number of games, where they were winning ball, and they pushed up, and they left their full back line to deal with their markers one-on-one, which, Jesus, against these guys, that was a big gamble now. And I think, like, no, hindsight's marvellous. We all know that. I thought they did it better in the second half with Paddy O'Loughlin at centre-back. When they restructured, even though the second half didn't go great for them, but the horse kind of bolted at that stage. But, like, to go and ask somebody, like, Ibrahimovic, would you fancy one-on-one in about 40, 50 yards of space with Desi Hutchinson in the current form? I think the blade would have to be lowered early, Dello, I would imagine, yeah?
There's going to be no cameras around the renting cage in them, but Jesus is wept. It would be a very
difficult assignment, like, wouldn't it?
Can I ask you this?
Go on, Mark. Yeah, Dela, we gave Kilmallock a good shout out, having played in the Gaelic grounds against Middleton. But when I heard the fixture had been gone to Parky Cueve, and we saw the game below in Dungarvan as well, and the conditions were horrendous, right? And we questioned whether Ballygunner would be okay in the conditions and stuff like that, right? But by Jesus, when they got the surface yesterday, they made hay.
They got the surface in Innes against Bellier as well.
You mentioned that. And there were two massive scores that they put up. They hurled teams off the field with that style of running, that running game. Now, their hurling is quality now, but they're just their know-how and their game plan and everybody doing their job right. It was just a really, really professional. But sorry, come back to the question. What influence do you think of the good surface does it have on this Ballygunner team? We know if they get to the final in Croke Park, the surface will be excellent. They're going to be dealing with Parnell Park now in the semi-final, and the conditions will be heavy enough for Teckenden Parnell, won't they?
Anyway, there won't be much grass anyway.
much
grass. Sorry, John Costello, if you're listening now, but you
I have to say,
you know, my feeling on that as well.
Parky Keeve is some stadium, like the stand, the elevation, the ground yesterday. There was no wind there, like I know it was a little bit of drizzle, like, but in fairness, for the time of the year, and even myself and Mark walking down upside the pitch afterwards, there was hardly a sod turned on the pitch, like it was just incredible. And for the players to be able to play in that environment this time of the year, it is a credit to Cork, in fairness to them. I know people have said they spent a lot of money there, but anybody who hasn't been in Parky Keeve, in fairness, it's as good a stadium as you'll see, I'd say, nearly in Europe at this stage. No, it's just incredible. It's fantastic.
If there's Ed Sheeran, TJ, people should go.
I have said, credit where credit is due to some spot.
Lander says tickets for Ed Sheeran. That's some kind of a fundraiser for Killa, I'm sure, or something like that. But it is. I disappointed with Tony Lean. Tony, if you listen to this later on, that you didn't put the three of us up Saturday night down in Cork, and we could have had done a bit of planning for Grace and Club, etc. Got a few things in order. We could have done. But anyway,
I tell him we'll get to win, Tony. We met another fella there yesterday who wants to join the Racing Club. He wants to know what's the story. We'll have to get that. We'll have to do something with the Racing Club. There's a massive, massive interest in it. I was contacted by a fella, Richie Cahill, there from Bride Rovers as well. He said, there's 25 fellas on site here. He said, Mark, they're only busting to get the ball. So look.
I was going to mention it at the end of the show, but we might as well do it now. Look, we'll promise the listeners that the three of us, Rafe, who does the video and the sound and all for us, maybe one or two more stakeholders that we think would be important to get. We don't want to be. We want to go and enjoy the crack as well. Like that's the point we were making earlier on before we came on here. We want to go off to the races and have the crack, meet the listeners, and watch the horse running and blame TJ if he doesn't win. But I presume our next pod will be 2 weeks' time. I don't think there's only Munster League next weekend, so. I'd say it'll be the Monday after the semi-finals now, which should be two crackers with Thomas's and Ballyhale. And as you said, Schlock Neil coming to Parnell, licking their chops for Ballygunner. And we'll have a pod that Monday. But we'll have met before that Monday, so we will put meat on the bone and get things moving. Because I was saying to you last night, Mark, I've had nothing but positive messages from people.
There's three horses now who've been given free to us. We have a 4-year-old filly, a 3-year-old filly, and a 3-year-old colt.
We'll have to draw lots for the membership.
Yeah, and they're not going to cost us anything to buy them. There's a foal, all right. There's a half a foal available to be bought, and there's a mare to be covered if fellas want to do the long game as well.
We'll do that. We'll cover that. There's
plenty of options. Bit of crack. And what this is for is for fellas, the listeners out there, for, I don't know, 100 or 150 quid, a one-off payment, and you're done for 2 years, and you get access to owning a horse yourself. That's the reality, isn't it? Like, and being able to go to the races as an owner. So
we'll have good fun.
Exactly.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
TJ, I was just going to say to you, You mentioned it there. They got a lot of space in the full forward line. And look, it's hard to watch it now from the TV. Great coverage again, no TG Carr. And I had Radio Limerick on in the background as well. It was Mal Keevy, is it? Mal Keevney or Keevy?
Mal Keevney,
And Leo. And Ferris got a bit of good because they were obviously there. And Leo was just saying that they were sitting in the three full forwards and breaking into the space then. The Ballygunner and they couldn't get the boot. Come here to me. Desi's a special player now, Desi Hutchinson, and I'll give mention to Higgy again here. I got a text off Higgy about 10 minutes before the start. Desi to get the first goal, 5-1. Don't say you weren't told. Higgy, He just sent me a picture of dollars. The goal went in. Jesus, he doesn't be too far wrong, I tell you. I'll have to give him that. I hope he's as good on the Clarecastle sideline this year beside me as a selector with these predictions. But, the one thing I'd say, though, is could Kilmallock have learned a bit from Limerick? Like, Limerick are the one county team that have managed to really stop Desi. Rory Hayes did a fair job for Clare on him, no, last year. 1-on-1, and Roy has a special cornerback to me, but the Limerick system seems to close Desi now. I should mention Sean Finn as well, I suppose, in that respect. What a cornerback, but he you can't give him space, and they just seem to set up with too much space on the other end, defensive end for them.
Did it, and I suppose here is the intricacy, even looking ahead to inter-county scene down the road. What we're looking at the moment now, we say, with the Limerick system, and let's say what Belly Gunner played yesterday, right, is you have a half-forward line of basically Peter Hogan yesterday, Mikey Mahoney and Parik Mahoney, right? Parik Mahoney is sitting at number 11. So if you're picking him up a centre-back, right, so Parik Mahoney can hurt you from 70, 80, 90 yards, as we well know, beautiful striker of the ball. So if you're centre-back marking him, what do you do? So that's the first problem posed for any team, right? So yesterday we had a situation where Kieran O'Connor was trying to follow him as much as he could. The two halfbacks were pushing up. Peter Hogan's running around the place was like, he was, as Marco said already, that George as bunny trying to follow him was literally impossible. And they were pulling that halfback line out, right? Now then, that was leaving loads of space inside. But it's two-tiered in there, right? One, you have to have the movement inside, which is incredible from Desi and the boys. And two, the ball in. They worked the ball. They took that extra pass on the middle third. And then once they were kind of facing the goal, they gave the great ball in. They were given the 60, 40, 70, 30 ball in every single time. And it was hurting them. Kilmallock then in the first half tried to react. They did get Kieran O'Connor to sit in the pocket for a while. But again, now Parik Mahoney becomes free in that middle of the field. They used him. And as Marco said to me two or three times, they outball every single time, whether it was out to the sideline or through the middle. Ballygunner were extremely well versed in that. So they reacted then by using Parik Mahoney. And again, they got a couple of scores from there and then using the ball inside. So it's two-tier, but it's very, very well drilled. It's well coached. I'm sure there's plenty of time in the video analysis room where you watch it and then you're showing a fella. It's nearly like professional football, as I said this before, where guys go down the line and they take the right option every single time. So it's watching that over and over again and becoming versed in it. And then believing in yourself, they were extremely fit, extremely hungry, physically well able for the challenge, and with their use of the ball, I would say, if you could have measured use of the ball yesterday by Belly Gunner, I'd say it was in the 90-something percent where they took the right option nearly every single time. Other than the last 7 or 8 minutes where they hit a few wayward wides, Belly Gunner, it was a precision Belly Gunner.
Yeah, huge credit to Dara Sullivan. You know, I loved his interview as well afterwards where he said he hasn't seen Schlock Neal, but he certainly has all their games taped and he'll be sitting down from tonight to look at them. And they're a very, very good team.
The challenge for coaches, you know, in the modern era, in the way the game is played, is dealing with that half-forward line, like effectively who doesn't play as a half-forward line. And even as such, a Limerick are a bit similar in that you've got, do you follow Keane Lynch? Do you follow Parik Mahoney as a centre-back? And if you do you deploy one of your midfielders to pick him up? But then you've got three men in that middle third. So that's the challenge. And look, I saw a quote from Einstein there over Christmas where Einstein came up with it. Creativity is seeing what everybody else is seeing, but thinking what nobody else has taught. So we need an Einstein moment, Dello, from a coach out there in order to be able to change. Like we all know the changes in the game, whether it's Kilkenny's physicality, to Cork's running game, to maybe the superior fitness, and now to where Limerick are at. So where is the next change?
Yeah, I'd say call Paul Kinnock.
Okay.
he'll bring another change. No doubt. Yeah,
go back to Darrell Sullivan. He gave great mention to the chairman, Jerry Cronin, the secretary, Eddie Flynn, and Liam Murphy, the treasurer, and also one of their guys, Frankie King, who passed away last year for Ballygunner, who would have been one of the Holy Trinity, as he called them. And it's very nice of the manager to mention the people in the background like that on one of the biggest days of the club year, because the people that do the work behind the scenes, the chairman, the secretary, the treasurer, they are unsung heroes in every club all over the country. And they probably get most of the abuse as well, like, because when there's a problem, who's the person who gets the phone call? The chairman, you know? So fair play to Darren O'Sullivan and like fair play to Ballygun. Like, this is, they're after winning 8 counties in a row. And I mentioned previously in the last part about, you know, teams consistently winning. So the Thomas is 4 in a row, Ballyhale 4 in a row, but like their legacy is well documented at this stage. Ballyhale, they're outstanding. So it's no surprise, I suppose, that the best teams left in the championship are teams that are consistently performing over a long period of time and have county championship won. And certainly that experience and that calmness on the ball, the Ballygunner is exuded in yesterday, I'd have to say. At no stage did they leave a ball be wasted. And TJ's right, that, you know, in terms of possession stakes, 90%, definitely. They made no mistakes with the ball yesterday, and they were giving the right ball all the time. The other thing that was quite obvious is on the restarts with the opposition's puckouts. The 6 forwards came out, the 3 inside lines outside the 21, the 3 half forwards were out to 65. The minute the ball was struck, the 3 inside full forwards all ran into the square. So they're making the field as big as possible. So they're inside the parallelogram, right, in there, which, yeah, like, traditionally teams would probably, or forwards would stay outside the 21, and they're obviously making the field smaller, whereas they went into the edge of the square. And then 2 of their half forwards, namely probably, I suppose, Peter Hogan in particular for me yesterday, but Mikey Manny, obviously, they were sprinting back then, and they were getting in under the puckouts into the, to try and find the dropping ball. So they were really, really well drilled, and they'll be a formidable team if they get to Croke Park, and that is the big question now, whether they can get over the semi-final.
It's bubbling up lovely, isn't it?
And in fairness, Dello, as Mark touched on there, they had 8 counties in a row won, which is no meaningful.
43 matches in Waterford, did.
Unbelievable. And if you look at even yesterday in the programme, right, like they obviously have Darren O'Sullivan, and then they have selectors David Franks, Rory O'Sullivan and Patrick Harran. But then on another page, right, they have this big backroom team listed, right, where they have 2 other coaches. They have 3 in the medical team. They have another backroom team of 5 or 6 people. They have 2 people in the video analysis, and they have 2 people in stats. So this is a serious, this is like an inter-county team now, not too far after modern era, right? Their underage system is winning all before Waterford. They have a lot of young fellas in this. There's a nice change in their team, let's say, from the last time they won the Munster Club. So these boys have upped the ante now. And I even heard afterwards in the victory speech where, you know, they were saying that it was the players that are putting pressure on themselves. It's kind of from within they're driving this. Like, there's, you can really feel the ambition, and, you know, you can really feel the hurt of them losing the last time to Barisley. And, you know, they definitely, definitely have bigger things in their mind. And you know what? I said it to Mark coming out yesterday. Jesus, what you've seen yesterday, you'd have to fancy him.
Yeah, and I don't know if he... As the one of the adventures has been at home, I suppose, is that you get to watch the speeches and the interviews and that, and Philip Mahoney himself and Barry Cocklin were the joint captains, obviously, but he did the speech, and I was going to say tactically as well, lads, that's a feature when they get ahead. Philip sits deep anyway as a centre back, but he sits even deeper when they get ahead, and there's no goal chance. I mean, Conor Henley's goal came from a great free, in fairness to him, later on, but the goal chances, and they have O'Keefe behind them as well. Like, so a trio down there, like, it's going to be hard to get a goal. But he tanked. Do you know what he tanked as well? The ladies' committee.
I heard that, the spread.
There from every night. He said, I have to give you a mention. You don't get mentioned often enough. But he tanked Darren O'Sullivan for staying with them. You don't often hear, like, you hear so much about players getting rid of managements. But he said, only a mile down the road here, he says, 2 years ago, we came out of here, not long, it was just before Christmas, I think, Barisley beat him, and sure, only a mile down the road, obviously, he was bang on. He said, but ye stayed with us. You know, it's the other way around. We hear that the whole time, isn't it?
Yeah, fair point, yeah.
We stood up, and we got new management as a bunch of players. But you know what? Darragh Sullivan's a good guy, and he knows what he's talking about. He knows what he's doing, and we need to look at ourselves, and obviously, that's what they've done, and they have that canister this evening.
Yeah, they're a fair outfit, though. I tell you, I was impressed with them. Kilmallock probably had a bit of an off day, and Mark said there are a couple of things, like Michal Houlihan pulling the hamstring. He's been a very important player for them. Philip O'Loughlin went off at halftime, and I can only assume was another injury. That wasn't confirmed. But a couple of things went wrong for them. Marco said there they had a pint that looked like maybe it was going over the bar, and Stocky brought it down. And then after that, it just became all Benny Gunner. So on the day, Kilmallock would be disappointed with their own performance. And in fairness to them, they prepared well. Like Graham got married, Paddy O'Brien got married. There's a lot of things going on. But look, in fairness to those boys, they don't make excuses, and you know, they'll credit with Benny Gunner with it. But for me, it was just really impressive, Benny Gunner, really impressive. And they're sending signals, I'd say, to all the club teams around the country, kind of saying, look, in order to get to where we are, you need to make sure that you have all those T's crossed and I's dotted, and you know, you need to be very professional.
Kilcastle manager Brian Russell, I hope you're listening to all this, Brian. We need all these people on the line.
Rumour has it that he recruited well, Dalo, in the off-season.
Yeah, I'm going to give a hand, but you're, I'm out here in the West now, I'll be limited, but yeah, I'll give a hand, yeah.
Will Kilmallock find it hard to pick up the pieces last for 2022 now? Like, will they be getting a month? They'll need a month off now, won't they, like, you know, to recharge the battery?
The good news here for Kilmallock is no championship until August. Right? So, in fairness, look, Kilmallock traditionally have been one of the stronger clubs and will be one of the stronger clubs in Limerick all the time. You know what I mean? They just have a tradition.
Their subs were impressive, TJ.
Their subs are impressive. And, you know, they have a couple of very, very good young lads. Paddy O'Brien's nephew there, Shane O'Brien, who has done a bit of underage work for Limerick. He's coming on the scene. He's going to be a first 15 player for them. They had a fella helping out there. I think he might be under 17 or maybe 18. Pierce Connery, another really, really good prospect. So, look, there's plenty there for them. Tony Constance said afterwards, if you had said maybe the start of the season that they would have reached a Munster Club final, a lot of people wouldn't have believed it. You know, as I said, they were probably outsiders of four at semi-final stage at Limerick.
Yeah.
So it's a very good season, right, for them to win a county, get 2 months of final. Yes, of course, it's a disappointing end, and it's disappointing to be well beaten by Ballygunner. But as I said to you, it was a little bit of two things yesterday. Ballygunner being really, really, really good man the money, and Kilmallock maybe just being a little bit off. But you have to credit Ballygunner with that.
No, look, it's just it's easy to be Monday morning quarterbacks here, you know, but by God, they turned in some display, and it's tough. I often think this as well. You start off the year, you dream about, in Clare here, we dream about winning the Kenan Hamilton, you know, which is a cup here in Clare. And it's tough to finish up your year losing when you achieve that. You achieve the dream by getting the Kenan Hamilton, and then you lose in Munster, and everyone is kind of downbeat at the end of the season. But yeah, look, I think they'll be fine.
That's the point where we're making before Christmas. If that Munster final was played before Christmas, the lads would be able to go away and burn off the steam and get rid of the disappointment of having been beaten in the Munster club. And I hope next year that those Munster club finals will be played pre-Christmas, and let both teams, win or lose, have their Christmas to themselves. It's harder on the losing team to pick up the pieces. For any team looking forward now to an All-Ireland semi-final, they have no issue going back to training. They're walking on air this morning. Yeah. But for the team that loses the Munster final, they're going to be down the dumps for a long, long time. Whereas if you have a Christmas period, the end of the year, it kind of draws a line on it and then sets people up again for the next year.
Yeah, and Mark, that you're not on Twitter, I get all the grief for some of the stuff you say on here. So I think, in fairness to the Munster Council, they made the point after our last podcast that they're allowing for Loughmore, Castellini being in both Munster Hurling and Munster Football, that they had to allow that they couldn't have the Munster Club final the following week because it was fixed for...
Well, that's interesting now, because Kilmacud, Roxburgh and Leinster happened to win both counties as well. And it's amazing that the Leinster Council were able to facilitate it and get their championship played in the calendar year.
I think that was acknowledged, that his pre-planning will be better for the end of this year now. But
we did make that point. But geez, it's interesting to know that you had been contacted by Twitter by the Munster Council in some respects.
You'll be contacted on Twitter by everybody, Mark. A fella said to me, I say 10 minutes into the game yesterday when Ballygunner got the 1-2 without reply, Ballygunner no divers, Dalo.
I didn't even send him a like. Like, I just said, I felt like saying I didn't call anyone divers. But anyway, that's
you
Twitter,
didn't send
Mark,
him a picture of Tom Daly, did you?
I should have sent him a picture of you.
Well, there's a good chance now that he probably won't be diving anymore, or maybe the umpires watching him in future won't be caught by him. But
yeah,
I did meet a very, very high up intercounty referee over my Christmas, over the Christmas period, and I asked him what his feelings were on the Lockmore two sendings off. He said, for him, the first sending off was not a sending off. The yellow card, obviously, he said that definitely the linesman would have been influenced. He would have thought that he struck him with the hurley because of the motion, but he didn't see it, so he shouldn't have. And he said, John McGrath can only have himself to blame for being sent off. He was on a yellow card. He said he didn't need to do what he did. Yes, he said he felt that Barry Carlin probably did make a meal of it, but he would more be critical of John McGrath that John didn't need to do it. So it was great to get a referee, a top-class referee's perspective on that.
Okay, that clears all that up now, 3 weeks later. That's great. Well done, Mark. We'll move along. As the Munster representatives, we'll wish Billy Gunnar all the best. Obviously, TJ, you do a vested interest in the Western champions.
But as you said, Dalo, it's in the setup beautifully, and even like for St. Thomas's nicely set up, they love an opportunity and a pop off Ballyhale, you know, coming in 2 weeks. Like that's a great opportunity for them. You know, they've been very impressive in Galway again, and they like to make a statement here. And again, as you said, for Northern boys, as you said, licking their chops yesterday, like, you know what I mean? Parnell Park, nice and tight, not a whole lot of grass in the pitch.
And I think it's as good a team that came out of Ulster, lads, and it's gas, they're the Derry champions. You know, you always have it as the interim, maybe the down. Like, this is as good a team that come out of Ulster in a long, long time, and they've no football distractions this time around, and they'll turn up. Schlockneil will turn up anyway, that's for sure. So maybe Kamala just didn't turn up yesterday for some bizarre reason. I don't know why, we've got no indication of that before. And I'd say Schlockneil will turn up for this one. I'd say they had their Ulster final before Christmas. They had their Christmas, and I'd say they're going hard at the moment. So yeah, really two mouthwater and semi-finals. Lads, yesterday, as I said to you, the streaming wasn't working, but Mike O'Halloran and Mark Foley brought us the Munster Intermediate Final, and I have to say, TJ, I know you have a vested interest now in Thomas's, but I spent 4 years, I didn't win as much as you, I won two down there with the stripes, as I used to call them, the Kilmiley boys, with the sash across the... Ironically, they wore the away jerseys yesterday, which was a bone of contention in my last year, because they wore the Clarecastle jerseys, because Lichnaa wouldn't change their Kerry jerseys, and Kilmiley were green with a yellow sash, and we played them in the county final 3 years previous, and you couldn't know one player from the next with the jerseys clash, and no one would budge. So we wore the Clarecastle jerseys, got plenty of stick out of that too from the Lichnaa boys telling me go home and bring my jerseys with me. But I think it caused a motion at the Kilmiley AGM that winter, and they said that get away a set of jerseys, and it's just the reverse. It's the yellow with a green sash, and they wore those yesterday. And look, lads, I'm dying to watch it now today, because I think I have it now today, the streaming crowd, and have it sent on. They were beaten twice. They were down 4 points twice in that second half, and they just showed unbelievable character. And Daniel Collins from Freeze and the O'Connor twins, I think, came up with 7 points in play between them, Mossy and Paddy, and like just the old guard. Going by the radio, my old mucker, Tom Mornan, who was one of my main men, and that's going back to 07, 08, was struggling a bit in the first half, but up she came with a massive score from play in the second half, and to get it grounds. And I'd say, look, don't know about the 8 o'clock closing in North Kerry, lads. Is it been enforced as much as it is here in West Clare? But I'd say it was tested to the full last night. And the first Kerry team to win a Munster title, it couldn't happen to a better. See, Michael Holleran, the commentator, did a thing on Facebook there yesterday, and he says they were hurling in Kilmiley 20 years before the association was formed. Some still, there's history to show that local games and that. But I'm so delighted. I know John Myler was away, I think, and had a long pre-booked family holiday. and was over the other side of the world, America or Barbados or something, I think. And they pulled a master stroke then. They brought Shane Brick, who's down in Cork, coached a few teams in Cork, and he was involved with Douglas there, Mark. They brought Douglas, Shane in for the day because Maurice Murnane is the kind of manager, the local manager, and Maurice was sent to the stand, which you could nearly have predicted before the game. Like, in fair, he used to be sent to the stand when he was wing back for me. Great joke. Yeah. The Murnanes, lads. I'd be thinking of the Murnanes and the Walshes, the McGilligates, the Bricks, you know, the Ned Horgans. They are, lads, they're unbelievable. You'd go out, Ned Horgan distributed like stuff like rasher, sausages, puddings, all that, you know. They were Horgan's meats or whatever, and you go out your car to rush to the ferry, 20 minutes to get to the ferry, like, and it should have been a half an hour now, but shooting across side roads, down into places, and shooting across Lizelton, across the main road, and you get to the ferry, and you got on, and next thing, oh, got on. You look into the back seat, and there'd be this gammon steaks and rashers and pudding coming out. Best crowd you ever meet. Like. And then the Sean Moran, the Moran's father, would ring you on the way home. He said, that wasn't a great session tonight. You'd have a good row with him and tell him to stick it up in his arse. And then by the time you'd be back here to finish off in the pub then at 10 o'clock working, and he'd ring about 10:30. Are you working? I am, Sean. I was a bit harsh on you early on when you were on the ferry. I'm sorry for courses. Would you believe? I did a training session for the courses Camogies one time when they were in the All-Ireland semi-final. Shirley Maloney asked me would I go down to do a session with them, and I did. I'm sorry for courses, and if I'm biased on this one, it's just because I've been involved, as TJ would know, with the Toms, and thrilled. I'd love to get the first ferry actually, lads, today when we're finished here now and go across. But I'm opening up here, unfortunately. Staff are low here at the moment. With close. Great picture. Sorry for rabbiting on there.
And I know, still, you can understand that. So, fabulous achievement, and to be the first Kerry team to win, like, that's always going to sit with him now, which is unbelievable to break new ground. And just a brilliant weekend for Kerry hurling. I know Larry is probably buried somewhere and pretending he's not listening to us, like, but for also Kerry to record their first win over Tipperary on Saturday, that probably was a factor, Dale, I'd say, in terms of just a G up for Kerry hurling Saturday night. And when you go 4 points down, and I mean, you might be saying they're small things, and you know, how did it affect Kilmiley? But those weekends normally come together like that. So,
brilliant weekend. The cup as well,
Peter. Oh, jeez, don't remind me. Well.
No, that had nothing to do with Kilmiley. No, you're just talking about Larry. Sorry.
But some weekends in total, wasn't it?
Unbelievable.
But the other side of the victory is that they beat the Tipperary County, Tipperary County champions in the quarter final. And they beat Dunhill in the semi-final, and now they beat the Cork champions in the Munster final. So there's a lot of quality, and there's no fluke to the win yesterday. That's the thing I would take away from it, because they've beaten, you know, three traditional counties, I suppose, in some respects, from Ireland's point of view. So, but like I said, courses will be kicking themselves, and you know, in the manner in which they won the county final, coming from 8 points down to win it by a point. They found themselves slightly different until the start. They were in front by 4 points, I think, Dale, three times during the second half.
I think twice, Mark, yeah. But
yeah.
I had it down as five here in my newspaper article this morning, because I thought at one stage it went out to five, but I believe it was four twice. Like.
Yeah, and they missed the free and 56 minutes to put them 4 points up. Ball went down the field and brought it back to two. So, you know, it just, you know what I mean, lads? The game is never done till the final whistle, and you have to keep going to the end. That's the thing about it. And remember playing a game against Klein years and years ago, our first year up, and we were 7 or 8 points up with 15 minutes to go, and we thought the job was done. And Conor Cusick got a flick on the ball into the back of the net, and we got beaten by a point. Remember just talking to three or four players after the game, how do we lose that bet? But a common thread came through. It was, we thought the game was done. You know, we were in a cruise control, well, hurling all over the field. There's no, you know, 4 points up is a lovely lead. We won't get caught from here. There's no crowd going to beat us on points. And that's the thing about it. They beat them on points. They didn't get a goal to bring it back into it, you know, which was...
There's a message in that as well, Mark, isn't there? That you should keep taking your points. Like, especially now with these injury times that we're often seeing 5 minutes going up. You know,
that's right.
There's only 2 minutes to go, maybe. That is probably 6 minutes, maybe, or 7 minutes. You know, so away the points. And I think Daniel Collins was, he missed one. I think it was the only one he missed all day, was to level it. And you'd say, oh, gone now. And then he got another one to level it. And of course, nailed it. And he nailed everything then an extra time. And yeah, it just goes to show, stick to the plan. You've kind that one, TJ.
Stick to the plan. James Maloney always quotes that he's the financial controller and the operations manager here in Cube. That's his famous statement. No matter what happens and what goes wrong, all James says in his Mayo accent is stick to the plan. But it's also true in reverse, Mark, about what you're saying about teams thinking the game is done, right? You have to give huge credit to teams who are behind 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 points down. And we have seen more and more comebacks in the hurling. Is that your default is back to your training, right? And if your setup and your training is very good and very strong and people really buying into it, as Dale said, they will tip over the score. You're more likely to take the right option and keep in the hunt and believe that the goal might come if you can get it back to 3. You're always more likely to do that if everything's in order, if your training has gone well and if your preparation has gone well. So that's key too.
And like referring back to when he got man of the match, Patrick Bannie said, like, we 3 or 4 15 on 15s in training, and he said they were worse than today in terms of brutality and physicality. And so, like, if you can create that in your training, you're on a winner, aren't you? Like, you know, and yeah, I think Kimiley would have a fair bit of that going as well. You know, Kimiley's numbers and underage would be gone very tight, and I'd say they're making hay while they can, and but they'd have a great strong panel that way and would have good games. And yeah, as I said to somebody on social media last night and later on, dear Ballyduff and Lichnaw and Causeway and Ardfert and all the rest will knock lumps out of them down there. You know? And that was one of the things, lads, I was going to say, you know, I think again, like, you know, Martin Fogarty stood down. What a guy. Martin Fogarty is nearly like Paddy Butler. Just a magnificent hurling man. And, you know, I read some of the stuff and you know, this night in Leitrim, and they've only 2 clubs here in Cavan or whatever. And I just think, should the GAA not be focusing more? Like, we're very happy with all the talk is about our football rules changing and competitions changing now. But we have a bunch of counties that have a hardcore hurling element in them. And I'm not including Leitrim and Cavan and that. I'm sorry, I'm not against anybody hurling up there now. Don't get me wrong. But we've the likes of Kerry lads, you know, who are bursting for hurling, and that area in North Kerry now, Tralee getting strong, the Crokes and Killarney getting strong, Westmead we know all about, Carlow we know all about, you know, even Laois to get them just up that other notch. Could we pour a bit more resource in there and come up with a better plan to maybe shove our All-Ireland Championship out by extended by 4 or 5 teams that can compete at that level? Because I think it can be done.
Yeah, but I think, if you want to up the intercounty to get more teams into the intercounty scene, you have to start with the grassroots, with the club game in the counties involved. And to me, the split season is the first part of that process, Anthony, whereby the club is now getting its time. It is now time for the clubs to get their own house in order as well. Most counties have now gone to a league format basis, which guarantees players at least 3 or 4 matches every year. That is very important as well. The more matches you can provide for your players on a more regular basis is the key to the club. So more regular competitive matches on a structured basis as well. I was talking to a guy who's involved with a junior club in Cork over the weekend, and he just said to me he was hoping his club would win the junior county, so that they could come in under the auspices of the county board, where you knew that the county board fixtures would be fulfilled, because he feels that the divisional boards in some areas in Cork, the matches get cancelled on a regular basis because the cat has had kittens, the game has gone off. Whereas under the auspices now of the county board and under Kevin O'Donovan, the matches are played, they're fixed, and you have to guarantee matches for your club players. So I think we'll see the fruits of the labour maybe in a decade's time, whereby the club is now going to be front and centre for probably 6 months of the year. And that is the key. But then, Dale, outside of that, can you get people like Martin Fogarty to do more there's more mountain forwarders out there as well that could help out. But it's the funding of it as well. It's going to come from who's going to cost it. And is the drive and the willingness there within counties to pay money to get coaches or get somebody like Martin Fogarty on board? Because he is a we had him in Killer 15 years ago, and we had about 70 or 80 coaches on the night that were down to Saab, and everybody was impressed and flabbergasted by Martin.
Blown away by him. Same with Paddy.
The enthusiasm that he bought was magnificent. Brilliant. Brilliant, I would have to say.
Marco, GEA TV is the funding solution, without a doubt. To me, I know you're laughing at me. I just think that there's so much more in the club side of it. Yes, we need to improve the inter-county scene with some of those teams, as I said, Dello, but the key for, let's say, take Kerry, who are in the news this weekend, right? The key for them, right, is like they nearly need a Martin Fogarty on their own. Right, in the sense that they need their own Martin Fogarty within the county, right? To make sure that their underage is going to provide players for the future, to make sure that at schools level they're doing the whatever they can to maybe to give some of their better players the opportunity to play, let's say, possibly Hattie Cup, to make sure that at an academy level that they're producing their minor hurlers to be at a level where they can go on to play under 20 and then onto a senior panel, and to make sure that their club scene is being maximized from a hurling point of view. And you nearly need somebody to do that for all the counties in the country. It's just too big a scope, right? So you nearly need somebody in that county to drive that. And like, I think with what's happening with the platforms that are there for the club and where the club scene around the country, I know I've beaten this drum now for a while to say that some clubs around the country are taking what the county teams are doing, they have their house in order. And I can tell club teams now around the country that if you're not planning for the next 4 or 5 years with all the youngsters coming today, if you don't have some form of a strength and conditioning plan, if you don't have some form of a nutrition plan, if you're not buying into this to set it up for 3, 4, 5 years down the road. And I do hear people, even in my own club, telling me that, look, do you know what I mean? That strength and conditioning is not for here, or that nutrition is not for here. Like, they just don't believe in it. And when you're explaining you're in trouble, all I'm going to say to the messes around the country in football and in hurling, that if you're not preparing for 3, 4, 5 years for this game to be at a higher level than it is today, you're going to be left behind.
Yes, and obviously the Gary Spillane Academy is in good shape. Yet there's a few lads giving out about the bit of honey in the porridge in the morning and the blocking and tackling.
If you look at the physicality that was on show yesterday, Mark, like that's intercounty where it was a couple of years ago, and you know, we spoke about guys in pre seasons, and you know, I was listening to Radio One coming home yesterday where people were talking. I heard McFinley and Henry and those guys coming home on the radio for the match yesterday talking about that before. That basically maybe these competitions were fellas where they might have had a half a stone, Dale, or a stone, or maybe a little bit more.
Two stone, right?
Who said two stone? McFinley.
Yes, I think so. So like, those days are well gone, and like these guys are minding themselves. But the club scene has to be the feeder into the teams like Kerry. You go around to all those counties, Dale, where it's Leash or where it's Leitrim or Kevin, like. You can maybe fix an inter-county team for a season or two, but if you don't have the feeder system coming into that, it'll fall away again. So I do think that the money will be there in time. I do think that there's funding opportunities available. I do think that the club scene can grow significantly on where it is today, even though it's in a good place. And I do think all those things are possible, Dylan. Now, how can you get a Martin Fogarty for all those counties? Different question.
Yeah, all my point really was as opposed to the next now, Paddy Butler, Martin Fogarty, and that we maybe get a committee of people, a hurling committee of people, and by all means go to Leitrim, go to Cavan. I'm not knocking those counties at all. But what I'm saying is there's ferocious interest. Like the day that's in Kilmiley today, you know, there's ferocious interest in hurling. They beat Kerry. I know it's only a pre-season tournament. You know, like they love hurling. In large tracts of one of the biggest counties in Ireland. And if we could, as an association, if Croke Park, I'm going to say it out, if Croke Park could give them the resources maybe to help to put two more hurling coaches in there, you know, full-time hurling coaches. You know, there's plenty of lads would love to do it. And I just think rather than getting another
evangelist, if you like. Don't get me wrong, I love Martin Fogarty. Paddy Butler, I got him to train the Dublin Hurlers. We met him in Mayo one time. We were up on a trip and Paddy happened to be checking into the hotel. And I said, Paddy, you're on tomorrow. And they still talk about the session, do you know? And that's the kind of guys you're dealing with here. I just think we could spread that a bit more and maybe focus a little bit more on those counties that are just that step below. Joe McDonough level, can we get them to Liam McCarthy level? I think that would be great. And I totally agree with you that the club stuff is going to, the way it's structured now, and I think the way we've promoted it on this show, and, you know, there's been still a few dragons out there in the media, lads, that's saying this is all wrong. That we're giving away August, we're giving away September and other sports, but we need to promote the club game. I think you're bang on that.
Wouldn't it be great if the country could see the full Kilmiley game tonight or tomorrow night, or the full Ballygiblin game, or let's say the Leinster equivalents? And again, that's the promotion that helps, that feeds into it, that gives all the other Kerry clubs the opportunity to say, well, if Kilmiley can do it, like, why can't we do it in 2022 or 2023? And that's what the driver is for the future.
I was thinking about your idea, the JTV, TJ, actually over the weekend, because I turned on the radio here to listen to snippets of the Ballygiblin Shkehina Rinky game. But I actually wanted to be able to watch it on television. And then I was saying, if I want to watch it, surely there's an awful lot more people out there, and not just from Cork or Tipperary. I think every junior person or team that's involved in the junior championship this year would like to see and log in and pay a fiver maybe to actually go and watch that match yesterday. Like, there was three Munster Hurling finals played yesterday at club level. And there's no reason why the three of them couldn't have been live broadcast at, we'd say, 12:30, 1:30 or 2:00. We'd say 12:30, 2:00 and 3:30. And I guarantee you this much, there would have been 50,000 on an average, right, across the country. And it wouldn't cost the whole pile to actually get your, you know, get your live streaming. Like what Rafe is doing and the Examiner are doing, the live streaming of the Cork Championship. That's well affordable or well achievable. We have to promote the game of hurling. And like, you know the issue you're going to get from the Munster councils or the county board. Oh, if we live stream it, people aren't going to come and watch it and pay through the actual turnstiles. That'll be the biggest blocker. To me, the most important thing is the promotion of the game. Promote the game, Munster councils, county boards, not about what's coming through. Do your deals with the TV rights and stuff like that. What do you lose? 10% of the gate? What about the old people?
The bigger picture, Mac, is that they get more money out of the subscriptions all around the country. Like, if somebody's paying 10 euros a month and they have access to everything. And just to make a point there, they don't need to be even on at different times, right? I was watching the racing over Christmas there, and I'm sure other people were on Racing TV. And if you wanted on Racing TV just to focus on Leperstown or just on Limerick, I used to hit the red button and just focus on one place. So that's available. And that, I actually think it'll come in time. I think the penny will drop here, where everybody around the country is paying 10 euros a month and you've got GAA. The Fitzgibbon Cup is coming up. I know you've got the equivalents in football and all that.
Great. And the Harty Cup has been on TV.
And the Harty Cup, yeah. And
actually, it has been on dial. I mean, we showed the McGrath Cup there in Cork. There was something with the streaming yesterday, Mark, but I paid a tenner, but there was a worldwide issue, I think, with something. Anyway, it didn't come on anyway yesterday. We got refunded today, the tenner, but I was going showing Kilmiley and Corsi's here yesterday as well. And so it is improving, we'd have to say. The merrier. And look at the crowd that was at Shkehina Rinka and Ballygiblin. Didn't take away from the crowd at all, sure. Like.
No, and we had a massive crowd in Páirc Uí yesterday. Ballygun and Kilmarnock. We actually mentioned it before the game, TJ, when the ball was trying, there was a massive roar
back to the
national anthem. So it needs to happen. We need to promote the game more, and it's not all about money in the background. And unfortunately, there is that culture about getting patrons through the gates to pay and stuff like that. But there's a bigger picture here, and that's the promotion of the game of hurling. That's the bigger picture.
No, I don't get that. I think people still go to the matches. Like, you know,
they will.
Yeah, like if Kirkcastle are live streamed, I'm still going to the match. Like, I'm, you know,
that's what I'm saying. Like, you'll only lose about 10% of the people. But what about the older person who can't travel to the match anymore, who would watch the television? What about the diaspora that's outside of here? You know, that's outside of the country, and not even outside of the county. There's people above, you know, from Killa that are living in Dublin. We've actually two guys from Killa on the Fulton Gales team. The one over yesterday, they beat Fulham the Armagh champion in extra time and penalties. Kevin Finlay, a local lad here, he's captain of the team. So
he's the goalie, not from Killa.
He is, Dan Cusick,
he saved the winning. He won it from Finlay, he saved the last penalty.
So, like, those two lads, I mean, that adds a piece as well now. But, like, look at the parents, the grandparents, the uncles, the aunts, the first cousins who would actually like to watch that match there now. Pay your fiver, sit down and watch the game.
There's huge content, there's huge content all over the country.
Someone had it up, Mark, that the 7 minutes of the penalty shootouts last night on Facebook. And when I finished up here last night, I filled the old glass of wine at home and I watched the 7 minutes of the penalty. Penalties weren't great now, lads. I'm going to have to say it to you. It was Ireland Quad, but huge shout out to Fulham Gales. They're based in Liverpool, lads. Stan Murray Hessian from Malahide. What a ledge. He's the chairman of the club now. He's manager of the team, basically not running everything. But like the job they have, they're kind of based Liverpool, Manchester. The job they have to try and train. I met him for a chat before the last All-Ireland semi-final they were in. Up in Malahide, they were home for it, and they'll be home again. Obviously, now they beat the Armagh champions yesterday, so they're into the junior. They could be running into Ballygiblin now for all we know, but that's
the context.
Are they meeting? Go ahead.
Yeah, there you go. There's
local.
That is a big local thing now.
It's great. We'll always push the agenda on hurling on this show anyway, and you know, getting up there now. Why I'm bringing it up today is I think there's a huge focus on football and changing the format. But we're all grand with hurling because Galway are into Leinster. And if Antrim are down or Derry come out of Ulster, and they'll go into Leinster as well. And even the talk was Kerry going to Leinster if they won the John McDonagh. And we're all happy. We've two great conferences, let's say. So I just think we don't need to take our eye off the ball because we have a nice balanced system. We just need to add to that. That's my point.
And Dale, in all aspects of the game, right, whether it's coaching or fitness or strength and conditioning or nutrition, people are pushing the boundaries and pushing things on. And there's loads of good things in clubs and AstroTurf pitches and facilities. This is going getting better and better. So I think there's an onus maybe to bring that promotion of all the stuff that's happening and that content maybe to that wider audience. I think there's something there. Even in fairness, I see the boys there and What's the Score there, their app, where they're trying to bring scorers and different things if you can't get to a game to kind of keep up to date with it, which is very good. So there's people pushing boundaries here all the time. A brilliant app to keep in touch with games. So I just think that this week now, right, with the weekend that's just gone, like you could have an awful lot of stuff there for people to watch, and there's a huge amount of stuff coming up with all the different competitions. So I think it'll happen. I think in time somebody will grab the bull by the horn.
And it is a rights thing, though, TJ. I know. You don't think we've been asking the Declan McBinnett to this world, could we not have a show on a Wednesday night or Tuesday night and show all the games? And
I do, but does EA own it? Like, they have the drivers. Like,
yeah, well, you'll have an hour now, 8 to 9 tonight, TJ Carr, and they will show bits and pieces of the games, but they're trying to cover football, hurling, maybe.
Very difficult.
In 1 hour on a Monday night. And I know RT would love to give it a 2 hour show there on a Monday night, but it's a rights thing. And don't get me wrong, TJ Carr have been outstanding in the coverage they've given us
Dalo, just one thing. I don't know whether you saw the documentary on Eamon Ryan over the Christmas period. TJ Carr did it.
Fun last
night. I just want to compliment, you know, the two-step TJ Carr number one, but the Ryan family in particular for the openness and the honesty and the clips that they showed of Eamon. He was absolutely fantastic. Look, I'm not going to go on about it, but I must say, and I saw a lot of the messages from former ladies footballers from outside of Cork County that got an extra look at who Eamon Ryan was and what he contributed to GAA, both hurling and football, men's and women's teams. Just phenomenal. But just to say, thanks to the Ryan family in particular for allowing the general public in to see the other side of Eamon Ryan, which was the family.
Yeah, I've seen it before, Mark, and it was actually on last night as well at about 9:30 or 9:00, I think. So it's a great one. I'm sure you can Google it and get it on YouTube or whatever.
Yeah, it's a great show. Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah, RT did a great show on Rachel Blackmore too over Christmas, which was very cool. Like, no shows, fantastic. Yeah,
unreal. Just some warrior. I don't know if you were talking to Kevin last night or this morning, TJ, but was he happy with Henry's debut?
I wasn't actually talking
Henry and Mick meeting on the sideline in Ballinasloe, one over Offaly, one over Galway, was not something the two of them saw coming maybe 4 years ago. It's amazing, yeah. Isn't it?
Amazing. Two fantastic warriors and two of the very best the game has produced. And yeah, in fairness to them, you mean both trying to improve where we're going now. The Galway, obviously a winning result is always good when you're a new, fresh manager. And I'm not sure, I'm not saying that Henry needs any credit in the bank because he's probably full of credit at the moment. But it's nice to get it off to a winning start. You kind of keep getting that buy-in. Like, obviously, it's very much trial for all these counties at the moment. And they're having a look and trying to see what they can play with. But like, you're looking for fellas show the right attitude. So yeah, I'm sure they'll be happy with that. I heard both of them speaking, as I said, and they both sounded happy, Mark, coming home on the radio and with the workload. Yeah. And, you know, I think they both said that things are happening quite quick here, right? And, you know, even in the programme yesterday, we were reminded that the first round of the championship between Limerick and Cork is the 17th to the 4th, which is not too far away as we speak right now. When you consider you've got these competitions, you've got to get a league play in that time.
You wouldn't want to be having the two stone now,
Teach. You wouldn't want to have two stone now, Dello, is correct. So these boys were happy. So yeah, it's exciting. And you could, again, it was 3,000 people or something at the match, and people queuing to get in. Yeah, sold out. People getting in to see Henry getting the ball rolling. So exciting time for Galway there now, and as to what presents itself. And I was reading a report in the match, and young Eamon O'Shea's young fella hitting the headlines from 1-9, yeah. So, look, I think everybody's aware there's an awful lot of talent. And, you know, even talking to Kevin there over Christmas, the challenge for them is to try and, you know, put the right pieces together.
But to be fair to them now, TJ, I'm going to give them this bit of credit now. Look, everyone has their own agenda. And as you said, the time is short. The time is shorter than ever before.
Yeah.
But, like, we saw the Kerry football team that went out against Limerick. And you're saying, Jesus, Jack, do you really need to put them all out? Like, you know, like, you're not giving a few lads a chance now. And he probably did. Like, when I saw the Galway lineup, I was there, haven't heard of him, haven't heard of him. You know, and in fairness to Henry, and it was maybe a little one that you could do with winning and not any point in it at halftime. And, you know, Mick, obviously, Offaly are on the rise again, and it was still one would have wanted to win, but he was brave with his team selection.
He was. And as I said, that's part of what, and I think even Henry spoke, as I said, when he was speaking yesterday, was he needs to get to know all these players and see. And, you know, I mean, he has to spread the net wide. And I suppose when you're coming in from the outside, you know, sometimes even though somebody can be like Kevin and Damien will know the scene inside out and they will be advising Henry, but you know, from himself and Richie, they need to see it. They need to kind of see it and touch it and feel it, because they might see something that maybe is a little bit different to before and try and put all those pieces together. So it's a tough job, and there's an awful lot of those really good players in Galway. It's just trying to find the exact piece that they want for their jigsaw. That's the challenge for them early doors. Yeah.
Absolutely. And no better man. As you said, he is a fair bit of credit there anyway. He's Henry Shefflin, so he'll be entitled.
I just think from a player's point of view, even in the radio listening last night, when he speaks, you listen.
Same with the two of them, like Finno as well.
I think if Mike Finley asked me to do something, I would just no question.
Trying to go and do it.
Just do it.
Isn't that then, like, in fairness, you see the enthusiasm they're bringing to that competition. And then isn't it disappointing from a Cork perspective that they didn't enter a team into the Munster Senior League at Isle of Shaw?
He wouldn't bother
I know. After winning a minor All Ireland and 221 All Irelands this year, and we didn't have
holidays. They've done holidays, man.
Are they? Did they get a holiday for that All Ireland final performance? Did they?
It can be sometimes a catch 22. Sometimes you can only play at 15 in some of those games, whereas if you're at home, maybe Cork might feel they can play at 15 and 15 and they're spreading the net wider. So it's kind of different strokes for different folks. But look, I suppose
TJ, there's a lot.
John Allen putting on the county jersey and getting out and winning matches.
Well, it used to be the Waterford Crystal Munster League or whatever we've got it. Right. You know, you were managing Limerick, I was managing Clare. But John Allen said to me one time when he was with Limerick, he said, Dalo, I'd love to try out everyone. You know, John, no, absolute gent. I'd love to try out a complete B team. He said, like, but there'll be a full page in the Examiner about this tomorrow. And we're playing Tip and Nina, I think, and it was a massive crowd there because people are mad for hurling, like, and which comes first, the chicken and the egg thing, isn't it? Yeah. You have to experiment, but you probably want to win as well.
You mean, Colin Bonner probably faced that little bit of a predicament. It's very minor in the overall scheme of things, but you know, all of a sudden there's a question mark. He's like, what's he doing with some of these players? Why are we getting beat by Kerry? So all of a sudden, you like when you're fresh into the management, the less questions, the better.
Did he get a sleepless night Saturday night?
Yeah.
And when he brushed it under the cap, they asked to look pre-season, you know. But,
I know, knowing the Bonner's mark, they'd sleep away anyway. I'd say they'd be laid back, lads. Like, but I'd say driving home now, he probably was saying, "Yeah, I could have done without that." Like, you know,
right?
Yeah, my first match, official match with the Dubs, Walsh Cup against Kilkenny, and named them as strong as I had them, and next thing I see the Kilkenny team, and Cody put out about 11 regulars, and Bate was 6 goals. I tell you, it was a fair drive from Parnell down. I knew the job ahead of me anyway, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, he was kind of, I'd say, straight away saying, this crowd has potential now. And they've won a kind of a minor Leinster and a under 21 Leinster, and I'd be putting hurling out of their heads now. That was Mr. Cody had that ruthless streak in him, like, you know. So, but look, all's fair in love and war. If you enlist, you must drill, as we say. So, yeah, that's it. Shout out, lads, before we go. Shout out to St. Rhinus Camogie, All Ireland Intermediate Club Champions for 2020. It's mad. And Raharney, who actually beat Clonmorris, who is the only Camogie club in Kerry, I think. Maybe there's a new one. And they're all the Kilmiley girls and the Causeway girls. And they had to play it yesterday at the same time as the hurling match. They couldn't have played it Saturday. So Mammy had to go to the Camogie, or Daddy had to go to the Camogie. Johnny had to go to the hurling. Bridget had to go to the hurling. Billy had to go. And they're awful. They couldn't play it Saturday.
Like,
themselves and Raharney won 77 points yesterday in Long Orchard. And in the cat that they couldn't just put one on the day before.
Which, you know, we've seen it in Cork with the ladies' football and the Camogie. Mm. The amount of hassle over the last decade between both those associations. Yeah. And it seems to be, they need to realise that they're facilitating the players, not trying to get one up on the other association. Oh, that would madden, you know, like, that would sicken, you know, like, you know, two clubs playing at the same time.
All their sisters, like, if you go through the names and didn't go through the Kimiley team's names, it'll make sense to you. Anyone, today's Examiner lads, sport again, have it here. Unbelievable coverage from everything. You get the coursing from Temple Toohey yesterday, where I would have liked to have been as well yesterday. Some coursing down there, but I tell you, the home of it down there, I'd go as far to say the horse race and everything, rugby even is in it somewhere there in the middle. I think Munster won with 14 men or something. I wouldn't be loading to them here. There was a few lads watching it here Saturday evening. Now the way it is with the rugby, you can watch the first half in Murty Brown's lads, but you have to be out for the second half.
Yeah, and I see. Is there twice over a second?
Half? That's gone. Sure. Clear the place, 8 o'clock. My God,
there's talk of that changing shortly, isn't there? Right?
Yeah, if you don't.
Dillo, on a sad note, we had a tough couple of weeks in Gary Spillane. We lost three really, really good supporters, two before Christmas. The Gatti, who have quoted on this show before with his brilliant phrase of "you'd know," he would have been James Ryan, Jim Bob's uncle. He passed away before Christmas, and we also lost, Ned Ryan, the Smiler, who would have been a big supporter. He'd be a brother of the Jap Ryan, who would have been synonymous with Gary Spillane GAA. And Ned would have been, I think he managed the Tracys to win the London Championship in 84. So loads of legendary stories about him. And just this week on Saturday, James, Jim Bob Ryan, unbelievably buried his father, Shamey. So another player for Gary Spillane. So we just have had three of them. So a tough time. And you know, we got talking and telling stories about, you know, all these older characters and the nicknames of the Gatti and the Smiler, and the stories were always huge. But the Smiler, one that came to mind when he came home, and he'd be always home for the guys' plan matches, especially the bigger ones. But he moved to London, obviously, a long time ago. And he was everybody who moved from our side of the world in over to London would have got in contact. And the Smiler would have done huge for everybody, anybody who went over. But when he came home, his little kind of phrase was always, when my work here in London is finished, and I'm hoping it won't take me too long, I will take the first flight back to Shannon and fucking walk it from there to Knocklong.
Jeez, that's brilliant.
So, but, yeah, brilliant characters. And listen, yeah. We were kind of going through all the old characters, and do you know the way that they had nicknames and different stories about them? And it's the same with every club brilliant. And parish yeah. up and down the country. But just a particularly sad time and just unfortunate for us.
And of all your great phrases, TJ, too old, too slow, too far comes up a good bit, but do you know what? The amount of lads that have said to me over the Christmas period, and I suppose been here in the pub, and that is, and as TJ would say, you'd know.
Yeah, it's a brilliant
phrase. God be good to him, man. I'd have had the look, the Railway Cup is gone now, but I'd have had the look to be in charge of the Munster team for the last couple of years. Jim Bob, just my sympathies, I didn't know. To you and your family, just a great character, Jim Bob, as well. Tough guy, great character as well, funny guy. And he didn't lick it off the road, obviously, TJ. You know, top man. So, our sympathies to the Ryan family from the show, for sure.
Am I right in saying that Jim Bob hit Davey Fitzpatrick of us all around the sideline one day during the match?
He did, yeah.
He went way up then after that.
Don't be talking about your Cork Camogie coach now like that.
I see Cork Camogie were posting a picture of him there in the new gear. He looked fierce well. He was smiling, which actually killed me, I think.
One of your own, one of your own, kid.
Yeah. And obviously, no, but
best of luck to Cork Camogie in the season ahead, no doubt. They'll do well. They always do well anyway, sure, don't they? And the best of luck to the AD with that job there as well. We wish you all people goodwill the new year. And all our listeners, lads, we'll have meat on the bone for the next pod now on this racing club. Okay, so we're going to meet, the three of us, not on a Zoom. We'll meet somewhere. We'll go into the Cube offices there and socially distance and have a chat. And
yes,
a bottle of red,
we need a couple of good
Chinese takeaway and a couple of bottles of red.
Yeah. No problem. Yeah.
Great stuff, lads. Pleasure as always. And look, any Saturday you want to double like that, like last Saturday, middle of the day, you want to back two horses, just look, give me the shout. I know you know more than I do about the whole thing, but look.
Dillo, you started 22 on a high, fair play. He gave us
to get the ball rolling. We're on a bit of a recovery mission now, right after Christmas. So I have a mare by the name of Play de Charmel, and she has two foals running, Naliador and PJB. They're running tomorrow. One is in the bumper in Doncaster, one's the second last. And Richard Spencer also trains another horse, Wonderwall, also in Doncaster tomorrow. Just keep an eye out on the three of them tomorrow. Okay?
So he's giving you three of them, listeners. Just talk that you might be flying out yourself in next weekend, is there?
Lady Jane P will be talking out next weekend, hopefully. She's into Friday, she's into Saturday, but the ground is against her. But if she'll take her chances in Wetherby, I certainly would probably travel like that. Out on the early flight back evening, he likes
Lady Jane P. He likes. There's a twinkle in his eye always when he mentions Lady.
No, and another one. The Getaway Queen. She's back. She's in training. She's getting ready.
We'll break the people.
And her dam is due to fall on the 14th of January. She's in Ford to Berkshire. Tom Mayer. We had a little bit of a gynecology problem with her the year before last, but Tom Mayer there in care, brilliant vet, got her involved in Berkshire. So the lights are on now, Dela. We're checking her. The 14th of January is her falling date. So every night we're checking to see the old wax coming down, because I'd be hoping to show you a picture of a nice colt fall in about a week's time. Fingers crossed.
I'll put it on my Twitter page since you won't join, but maybe in 22 we will persuade you to put your name on Twitter.
I probably have to jump the fence, will I?
You will. Great stuff. It's You've great got all the information there, listeners, anyway. And again, look, Happy New Year to everybody. And we'll see you now on a regular basis. Things are, as we said, going to be coming hot and heavy. We're looking forward to it because the crack is good always here. And Landers is after making a load of money for everybody there now on Monday morning for the end of the week. So cheers, boys. Sorry, Larry, about Tip and about Arsenal.
A grain of rice is going to tip the scale. Just remember that, then.
There's a small bit of a needle there.
Now, come on, Mayo, you've got to get Andy Moran into the game.
We're missing what the show is, then we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.